Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have a conversation with Ola Adeniyi coming up at 9:30. We had him on earlier in the show, and it was just a great conversation with Titans outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi. So we'll have that for you coming up again at 9:30 here on the program. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Andrew from Dover texting in for Call Your Shot Friday says, called shot, Alabama puts up 100 points on Tennessee this year. 100 points? Talking basketball or football?
That's a good question. Need to specify. I could buy basketball. They give a hot night from three. That could definitely happen. Alabama, Tennessee this year in Knoxville. Will it be an interesting game? Let's remember that last year for almost all of three quarters, it actually was very interesting in Tuscaloosa.
It was.
Then it got, although then it got less
recent history has suggested that the games in Tuscaloosa, for whatever reason, had been more interesting Tennessee-Alabama games than the ones at Neyland. I can't remember the last close Tennessee-Alabama game at Neyland. It's been a long time.
Yeah, Butch almost got him in Tuscaloosa in 15.
Yep.
And, of course, there's the Garantano call-your-own-number game a couple years ago. So
19, yeah.
Yeah, when was the last time it was actually good in Knoxville?
Probably in 2006 when Tennessee won the game when I was there.
All right,
I don't know that for sure is the case, but that's the last one I remember at Neyland being close.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So long ago.
I was there in 2010 when Julio Jones put up about five touchdowns. It was just me and Julio Jones face-to-face in the student section yelling back and forth at each other. It's a great time.
But no birds being flipped.
No birds being flipped, It was just me and Julio Jones yelling at each other.
I would pay to see that.
Little did we know.
Little did you know you'd one day get to witness an incredible, magical season for the greatest offense ever constructed with Julio Jones at the forefront of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of videos circulating out of Tampa Bay right now of Julio Jones looking pretty good on air catching the football, I will say.
I've seen them. Oh, man. I remember, like, in mini camp last year when he came in and he, like, either Jenkins or Jackson? He torched somebody with this move. You know, he had like a long. I was like, "Oh boy, watch out, everybody!"
And that was about it for Julio Jones in a Titans jersey. Although he had a great catch in the Buffalo game, really good game in Seattle, and that was about it.
Big touchdown at Houston.
Yeah, big touchdown at Houston to really help them rise over the top of Davis Mills out there in that final game of the regular season.
Nice.
All right, I've reached my quota of Kyler Murray, Davis Mills jokes.
You haven't.
You got Davis and Kyler in.
Can't wait. So, on the Titans front, the pads are about to come on. We've talked about the offensive line battle. We've talked about the defensive line battle as well. With the pads coming on and with, you know, higher intensity level practices, with the preseason games around the corner, when your guys like Josh Malone, Des Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, those type guys at the bottom of the receiving battle, what do you have to do to separate yourself, particularly with a guy like Josh Malone, who I don't know how big of a factor he would be on special teams. Like, if you're Josh Malone in this situation and you're trying to carve out a role for yourself here with the Titans, what does that look like to you? Do you agree with me that maybe he's not a big factor on special teams? How do you view his chances compared to Des Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, when you start to break down really the bottom part of this receiving core?
Well, I would. I believe he said something about that during either minicamp or OTAs. Basically, like, I'm willing to do whatever, which is good, because if you're a guy like Josh Malone, who's right now you're fighting to stay in the NFL, you've got to fully embrace that, of course. I just don't know if he'd be – just because you're like, okay, I'll do it, doesn't mean you can do it well. So
I don't know that he has the skill set to do it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it really is. Like, it's a bit of fearlessness, maybe even bordering into recklessness, and it's obviously physicality and open field tackling, blocking, and being willing to do things, you know, at full speed with guys. You know, I mean, it's just a different kind of thing. But if you're him, you gotta ask. You gotta be wanting those reps and get a look at that, because that might be your only way on this team. And if you're him right now, then you're looking at Des Fitzpatrick, you know, playing well. You know, Kyle Phillips was drafted and is, you know, a guy who might be the slot receiver for this team. And you also know that Racy McMath was on the team last year, was a special teams guy. So, I guess your primary route is still just absolutely just playing great at your position all camp. But he may need to show he can do extra stuff. I don't know if he'd be effective at that or not.
Well, because, let's say Des Fitzpatrick, let's say he could separate himself and move himself into the number four spot. Like, if that's going to be the case, do you see a role for a Josh Malone if Des Fitzpatrick ends up being the number four?
Well, if they kept, because I'm continuing to just make the assumption on Kyle Phillips. It's not a gimme. It's not a lock. But if that's true, and then now you're at five, you know, then it might come down to, again, I had all of them making it on my 53. Very, very cutting edge journalism. But it may end up being Josh Malone versus Racy McMath. I have no doubt right now that Josh Malone could go out on a Sunday and the Titans would feel better about him if he had to play than Racy McMath. I feel pretty confident in saying that. But Racy McMath may have the edge because of the kicking game.
Well, and he's a young Julio Jones.
There's that too. Also has the next Julio Jones.
There's that too.
Don't want to let that guy go.
Speaking of the guy who made that comment, I have been looking around.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like A.J. Brown's looking pretty good at Philadelphia Eagles training camp. Just throwing it out there. Looks pretty good.
Well, hey, however you look in camp, it translates directly to how you play. Apparently, I've learned this week. So let me know what his stats were yesterday so I can plug that in for week one.
So moving that conversation to tight end, we've talked about Hooper. We've talked about Jeff Swaim. We'll get to the Briley Moore part of it here in a second. But what did you make of TD's comments on Chig Okonkwo? Because, you know, I brought up earlier in the show what he said yesterday on the TD Power Hour with Stillman and Company. He said he thinks Chig Okonkwo is going to challenge for the team lead in touchdown receptions based on the type of weapon that he thinks he could be in the red zone. He brought up a stat. Ryan Tannehill's thrown 76 touchdown passes as a member of the Titans, and 25 of them have come to tight ends. So obviously that's been a pretty important part of the red zone weaponry that the Titans have brought to the table. You know, I remember Jonnu Smith had 8 his last year with the Titans before he went off to New England. So with all that in mind, it's been interesting to me to see kind of how different people view Chig Okonkwo and the expectations for him heading in this year. Where do you sit now today, 2 days into training camp, given all the information that we have and based on what you've seen of what Okonkwo has brought to the table?
Well, I'm not where TD is, I guess, on his impact. I am definitely coming around just in watching some offense, especially on the first day. But even, yesterday we didn't see full speed stuff, but we saw who was out there, right? You still see who's doing what at walkthrough speed. I've definitely come around on, not like it's some surprise the Titans are going to want to involve him, but I can just see where he could be a weapon. Now, do I think he's going to come in and just be this red zone monster? There's still so much to being a good tight end in this league. Like Austin Hooper, I know. Watching him play in the NFL, but even in the spring too, you watch how he runs routes, sets things up, has this suddenness that, it doesn't take speed. It takes craft and change of speed and change of direction. He's really good. And I feel good about him being a red zone staple. Chig, there's no doubt that there's a lot to work with there. Big thing with him is just let's see how he does as a blocker. Because Austin Hooper also has definitely one thing he told us on the show, right? Cleveland, the numbers weren't what they wanted to be, but he got much better as a run blocker. And I think that's part of why he liked this fit here too. So he's going to be, to me, tight end one, period. But if Chig can be a good blocker early on, then that increases to me the opportunities for him. And he could be a really nice add for this offense.
We'll continue the discussion on Titans training camp, including why Okonkwo kind of fits into to what I think is a big deal for the Titans and their plan offensively as we move forward this year. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. $20 buys you a lunch, a pizza, and a cold beer, or it could put a new pair of shoes on the feet of a homeless child in Middle Tennessee as well. That's what Souls for Music City is all about, raising money to make that happen. Will you help us in that effort? If so, text DONATE to 615-737-1025. Once again, that's DONATE to 615-737-1025 and make a $20 donation. You can make more if you'd like, but $20 is what we're asking for. Let's make a difference in the life of a child, one pair of shoes at a time. Thanks for your help. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds host the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox, at First Horizon Park. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have a conversation with Ola Adeniyi, Titans outside linebacker, coming up at 9:30. Joe Rexrode on his way to Titans training camp, day number 3 on the field of Titans training camp, coming up later today at St. Thomas Sports Park. And Joe, we were talking last segment about Chig Okonkwo and the impact he could have on the offense this year. To me, he kind of falls right in line, and so does Treylon Burks, of what John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have been looking for. We've talked about there not really being a burner on this team. I mean, Khalif Raymond was a burner, I guess, but even he is not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a starting quality receiver that's a burner. They haven't really had that, and they've had guys that are really big, really strong, and really, really hard to tackle. I mean, Jonnu Smith, obviously A.J. Brown, certainly Derrick Henry fits into that category, and it's pretty clear to me that the hope is Okonkwo can turn into that, and certainly Treylon Burks can turn into that as well based on his time at Arkansas. But there's no question to me, Joe, that that's what John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, at least as of late, have really valued in their offensive skill players.
Yeah, I think both of them. I mean, before Mike Vrabel got here, John Robinson's first year, they sign Ben Jones, they draft Derrick Henry, they trade for DeMarco Murray, they draft Jack Conklin. So John Robinson, before Mike Vrabel ever, was a part of this, kind of said, okay, this is going back to physical football, which was also a malarkey thing, right? Whatever, what was the stupid term? Exotic smash mouth. They quickly flipped to a team that all of a sudden can come downhill at you, two backs you don't enjoy playing against. Remember, DeMarco Murray was just outstanding in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
And then Vrabel comes, and it's like it takes even another step. Jonnu Smith, part of that. Obviously, Derrick Henry, in Vrabel's first year, finally sort of like found himself as a player, and they figured out what they had in him. And it does. They valued physicality, size, things like that over just pure speed. Now, how many pure absolute burners are there in the NFL?
Not a ton.
Like the Titans have some guys with good speed, but I mean they tried to get the speed guy with Taywan Taylor. It just didn't work out. He definitely had good speed. And, like you said, Raymond gave them a little bit of that, but also I think Raymond was, I think sometimes they surprise teams with him, but he wasn't exactly that either. So I keep waiting for them to, go get that or go, even in this draft, I was like, man, like if they could have a shot at Jamison Williams, there's the vertical guy who, all of a sudden stresses defense in a different way, but they went and got the big, t- tough, physical, still fast, but, you know, a little bit leaning more toward the physicality part, aspect of the game than the speed aspect.
Well, and the biggest question, you know, why I bring that up is, do they have players that scare the opposing defense? That's what this conversation keeps going back to. Now, as far as speed is concerned, like, I think we would all agree A.J. Brown's not a burner, but he had good speed. Like, he could get away from you and get open. Like, Treylon Burks, to me, you know, he got clocked at 22.6 miles an hour last year in the game, running away. I think it was the Alabama game at 22.6 miles an hour. And as somebody pointed out, I saw this online the other day, that would have been the third fastest time in the NFL last year. So, like, there is a difference between, like, everybody gets caught up in your 40 time, and I think Treylon Burks' 40 time maybe disappointed some people. But I do buy into play speed and what that looks like. And if last year at Arkansas is any indication, Treylon Burks and the play speed is pretty darn good.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That just means so much more than your 40 time. And so it's going to be really interesting. I think that, you know, I think that they're going to want to try to get him the ball quickly. Let him, you know, you break one tackle, and then, you know, as we've seen with him, like you said, once he gets going, he can be really fast. I mean, A.J. Brown was more that kind of guy, but there were still plenty of times in his career where he also got behind the defense, you know. So
Right. Now
that isn't always just straight running, but he had good speed. And you gotta be able to, one way or the other, make safeties pay for cheating on Derrick Henry, you know. And so if Treylon Burks should be that guy, then that would be big. I mean, I'm seeing Westbrook Akina do more downfield. We'll see if that happens in real games. And Robert Woods is a guy that certainly we've seen run away from people at times in his career. I mean, he has good speed, too. So, you know, a lot of this is how those guys are utilized also. Like, we're going to talk more about it, but just the passing game, the design, the play calling, all that stuff, I mean, that stuff's got to be better this year, too.
Well, and I wonder how Tim Kelly helps with that. And, you know, how do you try to use a guy like a Treylon Burks? You know, it's going to take him, regardless of how quickly he is and he's ready to go and be productive, it still is a learning process in the NFL. Like, we went through A.J. Brown's numbers his rookie year, and while he had a great opening game against Cleveland, it took him a while after that to really get going. And then, you know, halfway through the year, the quarterback change happens. You know, Tannehill comes in, and really AJ kind of took off from there. You know, it's going to be a process with Treylon Burks too. But early going, if you're Todd Downing, if you're Tim Kelly, you know, part of it has to be figuring out ways to get him the ball, to get Chigakonkwo the ball, for them to use the strengths that they have, which is just their size and physicality that they bring to the table. You know, there's going to be a maturation process that takes place in terms of figuring out the offense and learning everything involved with that. But some of it is just get them the ball quickly and see what they can do with it. And I expect to see some of that for both Burks and Okonkwo early in the year.
Yeah. And, you know, I think with Okonkwo, that's the thing. That's maybe the biggest impression early that I've had is that, they look at him that way, you know, I guess without being too specific.
Right.
But they're going to have some stuff to, you know, to try to get him going. And I mean, you can see why. I mean, again, you think about speed and you think about vertically, you know, getting behind a defense, taking the top off the defense. But speed in your own matchup also matters, and I definitely think Chigakonkwo is a guy who is going to be a real problem for some linebackers. And you saw that in a very different offense at Maryland. Certainly there were some, you know, if you go back and watch any of Chig at Maryland, there are some eye-popping highlights of him, you know, making big plays for the Terps.
There is some news on the Titans front. So with Buster Skrine retiring the other day, we knew that at some point the Titans were going to add a defensive back to the fold, and now they have. They've come to terms with Shakur Brown out of Michigan State, who was also playing for the Pittsburgh Maulers of the USFL. So Shakur Brown coming in, 23 years old, played at Michigan State, So the Titans have added to the cornerback position that way. So we'll see if Brown can come in and make a push to make the roster here with the Titans, or if this is simply, you know, adding to the numbers at training camp. But, Joe, we knew that they would add to the group with Buster Skrine retiring, and now they have.
That's an interesting add. A good, you know, solid college player. Not the biggest guy, but, you know, we'll see how he can mix in there. Of course, he was teammates in college with Naquan Jones, who I think is going to be a part of this team this year, and I think a guy who's going to help the defense up front. You know, the bottom line is you cannot get too many guys from the Princeton of the Midwest on your football
yes.
team.
Yes, I think that's probably – what we come away with, just as many Michigan State guys as you can add, probably just need to bring them in.
I mean, our show, let's see, you know, you're talking, this is me struggling to do math, 2 of 7 people are Michigan State grads of our daytime lineup.
So that is true.
By my math, that is like 30%. And, I mean, I just think that's, you know, I think that speaks for itself.
Well, then you factor in Izzo and our pre-show meetings, and it really gets nasty there. It's really good. There's some good stuff. No question
yeah,
about it. Coming
the
on
scene, they really,
behind the scenes, yeah. It's an absolute just Michigan State powerhouse down here at this program. Coming up next, we'll get to a conversation from Ola Adeniyi, Titans outside linebacker, get his thoughts on the season coming up and his role heading into this season as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Konezvec here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans training camp is underway. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans outside linebacker, Ola Adeniyi. Ola, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning. How are you? What's going on?
Man, what's going on with y'all? Shoot, I'm on my way to the facility right now.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, Ola. So what have the first few days of camp been like for you? What's kind of stood out to you so far with this new group this year with the Titans?
You know, honestly, it's been a good camp so far. I can tell you, man, everybody's coming in feisty this year for sure. It's been a good couple of days here so far. We stacked a couple of good days, and hopefully we just keep stacking them good days.
So who's really feisty? Who's the feistiest right now out there? What's your feisty level?
I can tell you, man, I can't speak for the offense right now just because, you know, I don't practice on that side. But I can tell you defensively, man, guys are coming in hot. guys are coming in hot every day.
No question about it. So, Ola, what did you prove to yourself last year with the year that you had? And now that you're back here with the Titans, what do you want to add to that and build on from what you learned last year?
You know, honestly, I kind of wanted to prove last year that, you know, I belong in the league and that I can play. So, you know, I feel like I kind of did that a little bit to show the coaching staff that they can trust me to go out there and play a couple snaps on defense and relieve some of those guys. So, you know, I felt like I did a good job of that, and I appreciate the coaching staff putting me in good positions to strive and be my best. So coming in this year, you know, I want to do more. I want to be able to come out there and really help the team win more games.
So, Ola, obviously you were one of the stories of camp last year, and you know, we noticed pretty quickly, you know, once team stuff started happening that, you know, you were providing a lot of pressure off the edge and making plays. At this point, after this offseason, other than, you know, obviously trying to be in the best shape possible and things like that, is there something specific you've tried to add to your game or you've tried to prioritize in terms of, you know, developing as a player?
You know, honestly, now that I've made a good name for myself in the league, and I've done what I needed to do. Now I kind of want to take the next step in being a leader, especially on special teams. You know, I feel like I can provide that kind of quality towards the younger guys, and, you know what I'm saying, help them out and develop, and, you know what I'm saying, develop myself as well. And, you know, being in more of a leadership role, and, you know what I'm saying, leading guys, and, you know what I'm saying, setting high expectations for guys.
Although, in your mind, what goes into being a high-level special teams player at the NFL level, and how much pride do you take in that role?
Oh, man, it's definitely dedication. You know, coming into the league, a lot of guys don't see themselves as, you know what I'm saying, special team guys. You know, especially when you're coming from, you know what I'm saying, college, where you were the guy, you know. You were that guy where you didn't have to do special teams and you didn't have to be in special team meetings and all that. So, you know, making that adjustment and being dedicated to it, man, it's definitely one of the things that you need, you know what I'm saying, because it sounds easy, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? You got to go out there and practice and get better at it each and every day. So I will say that's something different, like, you know what I'm saying, guys getting their mentality right to do special teams.
What's the most difficult part about it? Or maybe even, like, particular unit or particular job, like the hardest part of doing special teams?
Let me see. The hardest part of doing special teams, man, honestly, it's just like I said, the mentality of it, being accepting of it and being willing to do it and putting as much effort into it as you playing defense or offense, you know. You have to strive on it, because you got dogs on special teams, man. I'm not going to lie to you. You got to be able to hold your own out there. And, you know what I'm saying? You want to be able to – you don't want to be the guy that – you know what I'm saying? You turn around and next thing you know, your guy makes the tackle, and, you know what I'm saying, everybody's making their block, so you got to be dedicated to it.
It's outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi on with us here on Robbie and Rexrode. So, Ola, defensively, as you look at your group heading into this year, you've got a lot of experience coming back from last year, a lot of the same casting crew as well. How excited are you for this defense, and what do you think this defense can be as you try to formulate that identity for yourselves heading into this year?
Oh, man, I'm excited, man. You got guys coming in ready and hot, like I said. You know, you got Big B's, Big Bud Dupree coming back healthy as ever. You know what I'm saying? So, and you got Nico coming back. You got Big Jeff. You got H. You know, just that front four right there. Then you got guys like Zach Cunningham that, you know, now we get to start the season off with them. Not, you know what I'm saying, to the back end of the season, you know. So, and then, you know, we have probably one of the best safety duos in the league, in my opinion. So having all that, man, I think this defense is feisty. And, man, we got guys, and even rotationally, we got guys that can come in and take some of that heat off of guys. So being able to have that, not every team got that, you know what I'm saying. So that definitely changes it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, especially at your position, Ola, like you said, you've got Bud Dupree now with an offseason, not worrying about, you know, rehabbing a knee, but just getting ready for a season. Harold Landry coming off his best year. You have been able to make plays. And then Rashad Weaver now coming back, too. I wouldn't think that there's too many teams out there that have, you know, four players, you know, like that they feel good about. What have you seen in particular from Rashad as he's come back from his own injury and now is out there trying to carve out a role?
Oh, man, you know, I've been with Weed since college, you know, when in my Pitt days, you know, Pitt University was right next to Pittsburgh, so I've seen a lot from him, man, and I can't wait to see him go out there and ball. You know, last year, unfortunately, his season was cut short. But, man, yeah, I think he's going to have a good year as long as, you know what I'm saying, he keeps developing and keeps producing. And, you know what I'm saying, he keeps taking coaching. As long as he keeps doing all that, man, he's going to be fine. He's going to be a good player.
What about going up against this offensive line every day in practice, Ola? As you guys start to put the pads on and training camp ramps up here, you know, obviously guys like Taylor and Ben Jones and Nate Davis have been around the league for a long time. But I guess how excited are you to go up against some of these younger guys like an Aaron Brewer or like a Dylan Radins and guys like that, Nicholas Petit-Frere coming in from Ohio State, just the young talent that you guys have on the offensive line.
Man, anytime you get to go against your own squad and guys like that, like you said, Ben Jones, Taylor, Aaron, like Nate Davis, you know what I'm saying? Anytime you get to go against guys like that, man, it only makes you better each and every day. So, you know, I try to put myself in that position just to be able to go against guys like that. You know what I mean? Because we're only going to make each other better. So it's definitely been a fun couple of days. And, man, you know when the pass come on, it's gonna even get better.
Well, look, I think back to last year, Ola, early days of pads, and you were going up against Dylan Radins quite a bit. You know, he was a rookie at the time. And, from the media perspective, we're just looking at Dylan because he's a second-round pick, and it's like, oh, man, he's struggling, without thinking too much about, who's the guy who's going past him. But obviously that you end up, carving out a role. It's a great story. A year later now, you're seeing Dylan. I know that he and Nicholas are there at right tackle competing for that job. Do you detect a different player in Dylan? Have you seen the work paying off for him in terms of – I know he was one of the offseason winners too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think the coaching staff would give him that type of accolade, if he hasn't earned it, especially me knowing Cadrable, he damn sure wouldn't do that. So I know Dylan has been working this offseason, working his butt off, trying to get right. And, man, I can't wait to see him go out there and produce it all. And like I said, even being a second-round pick, man, he's coming in ready to play, and he's hot. And he's one of those feisty guys that I'm talking about. He got that spirit in him, and he's trying to win a starting job. You know what I'm saying? He's going out there every day trying to win a starting job.
Ola, what was this offseason like for you? Did you do anything fun this offseason? What was it like as you tried to prepare for this next season coming up here with the Titans?
Oh man, this off season was I had a good amount going on, man. While I was training, trying to stay in shape and all that, I bought my first house myself. The first house I bought was for my mother, so now I finally have my own. Also I started my business. I finally got to start my business. It was a good off season for me, man. I got to develop not just as a player but as a man, and so. It was a good offseason for me.
What's your business?
I started my transportation service business, man, in Houston, Texas, in the Houston area.
Nice. So,
very nice.
You tell us a little bit more about it. So transportation, like.
So it's more of a luxury transportation. We cater to your needs. So whatever you need at any time of the day. So especially, with our sprinter has been getting booked constantly throughout the weekend. So it's like, we take that heat off of you where you have to worry about, oh man, I'm going to go out and drink with my friends. And you don't got to drive. We try to help cut down on DWIs and DUIs and just having people be able to just go out there and have fun, especially Houston being the area where people travel into. So we just provide that service for you to where you don't got to worry about any of that. And you could be around your friends and just have fun in one area. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, go ahead.
No, you good, but.
So, what I was just gonna say, give us the plug. Like, give us the website. You got a Twitter account, for people in the Houston area.
So I got we got an IG page right now. We do got a website, but I'm in the process of changing the domain. But right now we got an IG page, AB_transport. And the AB stands for Denny Brothers. This is something that I wanted to do with my family, especially me and my brother. Got it going on. My cousin is involved. My uncle is involved. So it's a family operation that I want to blow up. And I think, as we keep doing this, I think we can take over the Houston area with the transportation services.
That's awesome. Ola, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck as training camp continues here, and looking forward to talking to you soon.
Appreciate you having me, dog.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Ola.
Ola Adeniyi, Titans outside linebacker, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Yeah, he's quickly becoming my favorite Titan. Love that guy.
Yeah, the enthusiasm is very obvious with him, and I think probably a big part of why he's had the success he's had.
DJ Burnside on Twitter says, "Ola never disappoints." Hashtag feisty for show.
I love that.
Well, in all seriousness, Joe, though, like we've talked about this a lot, but it's not just that front four or whatever term you want to use to describe the Titans pass rush. There's also Adaney. There's also Weaver. Like, they've got a chance here this year. If Weaver comes along and Adaney continues to play like he did last year, they got a chance to have a legitimate rotation this year that could be pretty darn effective for this team getting after the quarterback, which, as he just pointed out, not a whole lot of teams around the league have a rotation quite like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, deploy that. If they do try to, like with Landry in particular, you know, try to maybe ease up on his snaps a little bit. But also, it's just, look, we know injuries are going to happen. They're going to happen at every position. That's a position that is, to me, ready for a season. And I say what I said to Ola there, like, with what he did emerging last year and what I think Rashad Weaver is going to be, I don't know how many quartets of, you know, edge guys or outside linebackers are better than that around the NFL.
It's pretty cool offseason for Ola Adaney. Buying a house, starting a business. That's a much more effective offseason than I had. I'll put it that way.
I was going to say, he just made me feel bad about my lack of productivity the last few months. Job, Ola.
Yeah, pretty good stuff there from Ola Adaney. We'll have TD coming up here in just a few minutes. But, you know, I look at this defense, and he brought it. It was interesting to hear his thoughts on the special teams part of it as well, because obviously, you know, we're talking about his role kind of in that rotation on the pass rush, but he's going to be a pretty key player on special teams as well. He certainly was last year, and sounds like he has a little bit of fun playing some special teams out there at the NFL level.
Yeah, and that's still, I mean, that was his ticket here. That's, you know, that was the initial, you know, attraction for the Titans to him, and that's his identity as an NFL player. You know, the fact that he's been able to develop and become a guy who can give you some snaps on defense is a credit to him. But ultimately, you know, there are a lot of guys like this in the NFL. Like, you've got to be great at that. And, you know, I think the thing he talked about, like, mindset, you know, one is like, okay, this is you. Like, you know, you have to embrace special teams. You may not play a lot, you know, on offense or defense, but also, the speeds, you're talking about guys getting a huge run up and full speed. I mean, you got to be really courageous, right, to be willing to do that stuff. And it's the most underrated part of football always. I mean, look, we don't talk about it that much. No one does. But, I mean, it's a huge part of having success. The Titans need to be overall as a team, you know, better there this year too.
This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The thing that's different about a Vrbo vacation home, you always have the whole place to yourself.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Titans training camp day three on the field is underway. Our coverage of Titans training camp presented by USA Hip Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic. Joe Rex Road is inside the bubble out there at Titans practice. They are inside today with the rain in the area, so a little bit of an indoor working day for the Titans out there, and they're going through drills as we speak. Michelle, as you look at training camp, given everything that we've discussed so far, what intrigues you the most about the rest of training camp as you're looking at position battles, rookies coming in, whatever comes to mind in terms of a couple of things that intrigue you the most about the Titans as camp really gets ramped up now?
So we've talked about him a little bit, but I would say very far up on my list is Roger McCreary. Caroline and I got to speak with him at SEC Media Days. And I know
there's beans action down there.
Yeah, he actually gave us both, or everybody who did the media, beans. And I was like, that is just hilarious. Awesome. But he was a guy, you know, people always talk about for quarterbacks, it's the hands. And for him, his arms are short. But talking to Auburn media, they were like, the Titans really got a steal. And I think with that room being so young, especially with Buster Skrine, you know, retiring. I almost just said graduating, retiring, graduating from the Tennessee Titans. I think that he has a shot to, you know, potentially get a starting role. And what he told us, too, is they're having him play every position back there. So he's really learning to be versatile. And we've heard, you know, as far as what Mike Vrabel likes in his players is versatility, right? We've heard how much he's praised Nick Westbrook-Akina for knowing every position on offense at the receiver position. So I think that McCreary is definitely a guy we're going to see get some significant playing time this year. And I'm excited to see him alongside, you know, a Christian Fulton and how he just looks with those other guys who've been in the league a couple of years. And then, Robbie, you've also mentioned the offensive line, right? Can't really tell much until they get the pads on, which they're going to be ramping up soon. So that's going to be number one priority, because if you can't protect your quarterback, then can't throw the ball, can't do much. So I think that's going to be obviously a big focus point. Can Dylan Radins, you know, take that right tackle position? I really don't know until we see it from him.
Yeah, I think the scary part, if you're a Titans fan, is I'm not sure they know. Like, I think this training camp is going to be really interesting to see. Like, if you get out there and the pads come on and Radins isn't ready, or he's just not good enough, because I think that we see this happen in the draft all the time. Sometimes you just misevaluate guys and they can't make the jump. And they're just not good enough. We'll see. I'm not saying that that's absolutely what's going to happen with Dylan Radins. But if he's not ready, well, then all of a sudden, you've got a lot of pressure either on Jamarco Jones sliding over and playing tackle, even though he's probably better suited at guard, or you've got Nicholas Petit-Frere, who you just drafted this past season, coming in and playing as a rookie. So they really need Dylan Radins to be ready. And Michelle, I think the scary part is, if you're a Titans fan, I'm not sure if they know whether or not he's going to be ready. So we're getting ready to find out.
Well, and I think if you look at, you know, the other skill groups, like, it's pretty promising. I think, you know, you got some good tight end depth, running back. Obviously, your defense is really strong. Like, the offensive line is just that one group that is still a huge, huge question mark. And it's scary because, like you mentioned, they might not even know. And it's just going to... they're just going to have to run with it and figure out, because if he can't play that, then there's going to be a lot of pressure in trying to move guys around and figure out the best group you can get.
Yep, no question about it. It's going to be an interesting weekend with Titans training camp. We'll have you covered coming up on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace up next as well, as Titans training camp is underway in day three on the field. Joe Rexer will be back on Monday morning at 6 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the latest with the Tennessee Titans as well. That's going to do it for us today. As I said, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.